All right, Jim Taylor back on the WMJ Sportsline on this Saturday morning. We have a media icon in the WMJ studios and off the air. I want to tell you, Pearson, he just threw shade at you. He said the Bi-County Conference Tournament's tougher than the Valley Conference Tournament. Brian Stocky, welcome to Aledo. We got you out of here finally.
Yes, thank you, Jim. I appreciate coming out to Aledo. And I said Bradley's the best team left in the Valley.
I misheard you. Okay.
You said whoever loses is going to the Bi-County, not win.
They're
going
to have to play down in Roseville, Illinois, off of the old U.S. 67.
What, no shoebox?
No shoebox. Oh. No. All right, so... How did you get involved? Tell us the story. People say, well, that stocking guy that's on Channel 8, what's his story? What's your story? Here's your chance to tell the listening audience.
I went to Iowa State. I graduated from Riverdale, and then I went to Iowa State, and I was going to get into sports broadcasting, sports journalism.
Wait, can I stop you? You said Riverdale.
Yes, I'm a Riverdale fan.
You and I always talk about 7 degrees of separation. So you and I were both Little League legends at Dorrance Park. In Eureka, the Upper Rock Island Little League. I played in that. In the double knit, the old double knit uniforms.
Yes, the polyester double knits and the Orioles that wore green and gold. And the
just like me, the only reason I played is because my parents let me play because they were the coach, man.
No, my parents never coached. Oh, okay. My dad was the ambulance driver. So he could, you know, funeral directing an ambulance, he had to go. So I played... I played on the Brewers my first year, and we wore blue and red. Then I was on the Dodgers, maroon, no Dodger blue. I'm like going, Tommy Lasorda is going to have to change his color. Then I played on the Orioles, green and gold. Played on the Cardinals, who were burgundy and gold. Finally played on the Cubs, and we actually looked a little bit like the Cubs. And then I played 2 years of Pony League on the Phillies, and we wore black and red.
All right. So we both grew up at Dorrance Park. So graduate of Riverdale, you said 93.
1993.
So how did you take over, this is my question, how did you take over Quad City Media from those humble roots?
I didn't take over Quad City Media, but I went to Iowa State, and I was going to major in sports broadcast and journalism. Well, I had a journalism test. I had to pass it with a 70%. Never got 70. I got 39, 53, 41, 43, great lotto numbers and bingo numbers, but never 56. So I then had to transition to a new major, history. And my junior year, I interned at Channel 6 in the summer of going into my senior year. I interned at sports with Channel 6 and worked with Pearson, worked with TC, worked with Hank Strunk. And then when I got ready to go back to college, Dan says, well, if you want to, you know, when you come back on breaks or after you get done, you know, join us on Friday nights. And from, you know, the first year I came back, I did like 7 or 8 Friday nights because I didn't have a car. So I had to sort of, when my brothers, Moline and Maroons, were out of town, I could take the car on Friday nights. And then sort of the next year I had a car, so I was able to commit for a whole season. And then just kept coming back and, like, you know, kept coming back and coming back. And eventually, you know, after you've been there a while, then they start going, you know, we really could use your contributions. So I was there and there and there and just kept coming back. And Dan kept saying, come back next fall. And we did football and basketball. And, you know, Dan taught me how to write scripts. So I went from being a correspondent going to, you know, to the ends of the earth, to be in the studio every Friday night, getting the plays and scripts called in, typing them up, looking for scores. I remember calling RMJ many a Friday night, saying, you know, before in the days before everyone had
that was the great way you had to do it.
Yeah, you had
before Twitter, before social media.
You had to learn how to, you know, be a nice person. You couldn't be a snark or anything. I remember calling WRMJ and they'd be like going, well, here's these scores. What scores do you have to give me? So I would give them scores from, like, the Metro, and we would sort of horse trade that way. And, I mean, you know, looking on the web, looking on the wires from the Associated Press, you know. So we got a lot of scores that way or just calling people saying, hey, what scores do you have? And at that time, we were lucky. There were a lot of stations like WRMJ, WRAM down in Monmouth. WCCI up in Savannah, they had games, and they would have people back in the studio running the boards, and they'd have scores coming into them, and we'd sort of horse trade that way. And that was the way things ran until everyone got a cell phone and Twitter.
I love the word horse trade. You've used that like three times this morning. By the way, do you hate Matt Randazzo or do you like him?
I love Randazzo.
I'm kidding.
Right. Matt Randazzo loves listening to you guys in the morning. As does Corey Cuffler and Celia Palmer.
So I need to. So do you do most just weekends then for them?
Just Friday nights.
All right. So and that's gone on for how many years?
Two. I was at KWQC for 21 years.
So you've been 23 years in the business overall.
And on Friday nights at WQAD.
So it's a labor of love.
Yeah, it is. And I've loved, I mean, when I was a kid, and we talked about this before we went on air, that on Saturday mornings.
Oh, this is a great story. You need to tell this. He goes to the, I want to set it up. How old were you about?
It started like when I was 13, 14.
All right, so what is that, 7th, 8th grade?
7th, 8th grade, yeah.
So he grew up in the great town of Port Byron, Illinois, off of the great route, Illinois, Route 84. I've driven that road many times. It's a picturesque route up through Port Byron, Rapid City, Cordova, go up to Albany, and then go up to Fulton, who has the great head football coach, Patrick Lower, who's my brother-in-law. All right.
He's also a very good basketball official. I've officiated.
Hopefully Pat Lower's listening to this today.
I was doing the Justin Sharp shootout one summer, because you have to do a clinic for the IHSA every 3 years. You can do it one every year if you wanted to or whatever, but you have to do one at least every 3 years to keep your license current. So the Justin Sharp shootout also has an officials clinic. So I went to, I'm working these games, it was a Saturday, the last game's on Saturday, and who's the official on the court with me? Patrick Lauren. He's a very good official, and he does a lot of games when he's not coaching football. Yeah,
okay, let's back up. So this is Americana right here, man.
Yeah.
So this is Brian Stocking as a 13-year-old kid at Port Byron, and he's going to get up Saturday morning, and this is like a Norman Rockwell painting. He gets up. He says, Mom, yeah, hey, can I have 75 cents or what, a buck? I want to get the two Saturday morning.
It was a dollar at the time.
Okay, 50 Saturday cents morning, each. Quad City Times and Argus Dispatch Saturday morning edition, so I can read everything that's going on. So take it away.
I'd walk down to the local Casey's. Go to they had the little stand.
And they're going, here's that Stocking kid.
No, I just put in the 50 cents
in the machine,
pull out one, put 50 cents in the other, pull out the other, and I put the sports on top and walk home and read while I'm walking down the sidewalk, read about all the great high school games the night before on both sides of the river. I mean, because the Times would cover mostly Iowa, they would cover the MAC and maybe a couple of Western Big Six games, but they were really focused on the MAC. The Dispatch almost was exclusive Illinois. I mean, it had to be a huge game in Iowa for them to cover it. And usually they would have the MAC scores, but that was it. And I'd be reading about the games and, reading about how great the games were. And, it just built, I've always been a high school fan. And the high school games, you go to the games and it's so fun. There's a lot of fun. And like I announced at West, and we've had a few games that got out of hand. So, they're putting in the bench kids and they're so excited. So, when a kid hits a basket, the whole bench erupts. Mm-hmm. And I mean, sometimes that's more fun than a tennis game because those kids are just there for the love of the game. And when they score, they're all excited, especially the kids at the end of the bench who hardly get in, they score. So I make sure when they score, I'm announcing, I put a little extra.
That's a three for Brian's.
No, I don't go that bad. But I make sure I get the kid's name, and when they go into the game, even because like a lot of times, final minute, hardly anyone scores, but they're going in the game, so I make sure I introduce who's going in the game, so that way, mom and dad, if they're there, or grandma or grandpa or somebody, or at least the kid, hears their name, and they're like, oh, I'm really a part of this. And hopefully they'll stay with it, because as you've seen, the rosters are getting thinner and thinner.
That's right. Well, and you bring up, though, when you're talking about media and being in the business, you've seen the change in the 23 years with, you know, the declining newsroom staff. And I know the print media, print journalism has been hit hard. I know, you know, in the last 2 or 3 years, Mark Nestler, you know, he's out at the Argus Dispatch, Jeff Winland, he's out, and you're seeing a lot of these paper-thin newsrooms, and you don't get the coverage, really, like you used to from a lot of sources in a lot of places. I know when I first started doing radio, I'd go to places where there'd be, you know, multiple radio stations at games, and I know this week, like, for example, I was at the sectional at Princeton, where El Paso Gridley, a very quality program for the heart of Illinois, no radio coverage. Fieldcrest is going to the Elite Eight, no radio coverage. Now, back in the day, if I would have been doing, you know, there would have been stations like Pontiac would have covered Fieldcrest, probably, and El Paso Gridley might have had JBC there out of Bloomington, but it's non-existent. So it's sad to see what Press Row is becoming, or lack thereof.
Well, I remember when I was in high school at Riverdale, I did football stats for 4 years, and there would always be a guy from Savannah or Fulton, and sometimes they would just be talking into a tape recorder. And one night, so at halftime, I go up to him, I go, "Why are you talking to that tape recorder?" He goes, "I'm taping this, and we're going to play it tomorrow, or we're going to play it tonight, you know, through late night." I'm like, going, and he goes, "Yeah, we got a lot of people that are, they're truck drivers, and they're wanting to listen to a sports game. They don't care what sports game it is. Or, you know, you got some people that are up late at night, you know, working third shift somewhere. They just want to listen to sports. They don't care."
Well, was before social media, where you didn't know instant results. And
right.
See, that's the thing, that the social media is hurting the traditional form of media, but the traditional form of media is responsible for utilizing that tool to, you know, immediately put out the information, where they're part of the problem. I think social media, you know, in terms of the traditional media, really embracing that. You know, people aren't going to buy a paper if they can read it on Twitter or read it on Facebook or whatever. And I didn't realize, you know, until I was watching ESPN last week or 2 weeks ago when they were celebrating
the Miracle on Ice, it was tape delayed.
Yeah, could you imagine? You couldn't get away with that.
No,
today, and I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was tape delayed, and they kept teasing, because the problem was, right before the Olympics, the Soviets played Team USA at Madison Square Garden, and it was an annihilation. They beat them 10-3, and it looked like it was going to be a very bad time for Team USA at the Olympics. And then all of a sudden, this little team kept winning, and now they got to play the mighty Soviets again. It's like, oh, God, they're going to get killed. And ABC didn't want to be saddled with, didn't want to be saddled with a 12-1 beatdown in the Olympics. So they're like going, we'll put on there when Team USA gets slaughtered, we can switch to Team Bobsledding or something. And they kept staying with the game, and that's why people thought it was live. In fact, in 96, when I was at Channel 6 interning, that was the summer of the Atlanta Olympics. And at 6 o'clock that night, the gymnastics went final, and Team USA won with Carrie Strug. "You can do it!" And, you know, Carrie Strug with her broken leg and all that, jumping and... And so I knew it instantaneously. Well, the press was embargoed until, like...
That was what year, 80?
96. So I go home that night, and my mom's like, "We're doing so well at the Olympics." I go, "Mom, we won." She goes, "You don't know that." I go, "Yes, I do. I work at the TV station."
Go to your room, Brian.
No. So we're watching it, and I'm like, that year NBC cuts a commercial after every, you know, someone sneezes, "We're going to commercial." You know, and John Tesh is trying to build up the excitement. I'm like, "Going, Tesh, go back to your piano and play Round Bell Rock." And, you know, because he's not a very good broadcaster, but that's besides the point. But anyway, so they win, and my mom's like, we won. I'm like, "I knew that 6 hours ago."
All right, so what is the sport you did cover the most? Is it like football with the highlights? Well, it was the highlight zone back in your 21 years.
And
but everybody does their, now everybody does their own.
I love football and basketball. I mean, I grew up watching the CBS NFL on CBS and Monday Night Football, and then, you know, the college basketball tournament, March Madness. I love March Madness. And then, you know, baseball. Back when I was a kid, there were actual seasons. You knew, all right, it's fall, it's football time. Or it's winter, it's basketball. Or, hey, it's late spring, it's the NBA and NHL playoffs. Or it's the summer, time to watch the Cubs. Especially back when I was a kid, there was no lights at Wrigley. So it's like, hey, 1:20, day's over, we're going to watch the Cubs play.
Are you a Cub fan?
Diehard Cub fan.
So what? Who are the other? Then Iowa State.
Iowa State. Well, my mom's a diehard Cub fan. She grew up with the 69 Cubs. In fact, my bedtime stories were of the 1969-1970 Cubs. She loves telling the story of how Doc Ellis and the Cubs got into a fight at Wrigley Field one year. And she missed it because her sister wanted to go to the game and got sick. So she had to wait at the gates for my grandfather to pick up my mom's sister to take her home. And my mom's like, going, after she put the sister in the car, she's like, I'm going back to watch the game. But, you know, I grew up, so she loves, but she also, she's a lot like you. She loves the Houston Astros because they're the Quad City, they're the affiliate of the River Bandits, and she works River Bandit games and concessions. Oh, wow. So she's gotten to be a, you know, she loves the Astros, which I know is a bad thing to say now because the Astros got caught with their hands in the cookie jar. But, you know, there's several other teams that did the same thing. So, you know, this isn't the NCAA. We're not going to vacate titles. No one can eradicate from my mind Chris Webber calling timeout. The NCAA could say, oh, Michigan, that was vacated. I still remember seeing Chris Webber go, timeout. And, you know, it's like, you got no timeouts, bud. And, you know, all those games in, like, the year, I think Illinois had to vacate some wins one year. It's like going, those games aren't going to just be deleted from the mind. That's going to stay. You know?
Are you Pete Rose Board Hall of Fame or not in the Hall of Fame?
I've gone back and forth on it because as a player, he definitely is a Hall of Famer. As a manager, he got caught breaking the rule. And the rule is if you get caught, if you bet on the games, you're going to be suspended from the game for life. And I think if you put Pete in or Shoeless Joe in, the plaque has to say was banned from the game for cheat. It's like if Barry Bonds or Mark McGwire or Roger Clemens ever get in the hall, like if they get put in through the Veterans Committee, because I don't think sports writers are going to put them in. If they get put in through the Veterans Committee, their plaque should say what some of his records were under cloud because of use of androstenedione or the cream in the clear or whatever they used, or steroids, you know, because that is cheating. I mean, taking steroids to enhance your performance is cheating, just like it's no more cheating than the White Sox throwing the World Series or Pete Rose betting on his team to win as a manager. And I think, you know, you look at Sammy Sosa was a string bean when he joined the Cubs. And all of a sudden, he looks like the Michelin Man.
I mean, that's like Barry Bonds when he was...
Yeah, Barry Bonds' head size grew 3 sizes in 1 year. That doesn't... I mean, you know, he looked... you know, you look at Barry Bonds as a rookie, and Barry Bonds, when he was with San Francisco Giants, the only thing that changed was instead of the Pittsburgh, was San Francisco, and it could have been the Goodyear blimp. I mean, you know, and a lot of these guys, you know, you look at him, and they're like, you know, in their rookie year, they're string beans. And then, you know, when they're 9, 10 years in the league, they look like they've added 3 suits. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous. I mean, you look at like a guy like Cal Ripken or Dale Murphy, my favorite player of all time. They look the same throughout their entire career. And then you've got, you know, Bonds and McGwire, you know, looking like they've, you know, and then Clemens. And the thing with Roger Clemens is, I saw Clemens when he was striking out 20 Seattle Mariners in 1996. Great performance. He has to use steroids? Why? You know,
when he was older, though. I mean, that's probably why, the recovery
But even, you know, even
when he's coming out of the bullpen to pitch that 18-inning game against the Braves, you know that's just not humanly possible if he's pitching 2 days before and he's that age.
Yeah, I mean, but...
Come on, I play 15 over softball. I know what it takes.
But you know what I'm saying, though. I mean... You know, he didn't need that, though. He was set. I mean, some of those guys are so athletically talented that even at an age for most of us where we're, you know, reaching for the rocking chair, they're able to do great performances, and when you use steroids, that cheapens it.
I mean, all right, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Can you, me, Nick Bull, and Dan Pearson, can we go on a road trip somewhere sometime?
If we could ever get all our schedules together.
Like some off-the-beaten-path type of road trip.
You mean
trip.
Like a Glory Days?
Can we do that? Would you?
I would love to do that. Me and, well, one year.
And only us four get to go.
Well, Greco will want to go. Greg Armstrong.
Okay, well, we'll let him
go. He'll beg to go. And
he can't mention Ottawa Marquette on in any of the stories.
Well, he could mention if they got beat.
Okay.
But Ottawa Marquette's going to be, you're going to be meeting Ottawa Marquette this year in the Lincoln
Trail. Yeah,
they're
playing Mercer County in week five.
Yeah, they picked up a lot of the West Central
and
games.
I saw, if Jason Kirby's listening, I saw the 8-man football schedule of the West Central Heat from somebody showed it to me last night, and it's not out, but I saw the West Central Heat 8-man football schedule. So, but so we're down for that trip sometime.
Yeah.
Summer. Where should we go?
We got to go like to, you know, some of the, you know, one year we went, the year that we went to, we start off in Atkinson. So we go into the old Atkinson gym, and I mean, the place looks like it's right up Hoosiers. And so we go out of the football field, and we're walking around the football field, and some lady from Atkinson's like going, "You can't be out here, I'm going." So she runs into Dan Pearson. She goes, "I know you. You go to my church." And he's like, "Yeah, we're here just, you know, to sightsee."
We're here because of him.
No, we're sightseeing. And she's like, you know, she's taking us all around Atkinson Field, and it's like, you know, and then, but there was this mushroom in the fields. And she's like, "Going, don't touch that mushroom." We're like, "Going, what is it? The Fountain of Youth or something?" Yeah. But you know, we went to Mineral, and actually, there was a guy.
They're still on Bradley's basketball schedule. Har har har.
Yeah. And then, but we played. We went to Mineral, and right there was at Mineral High School's tore down. But in Mineral, there was a guy that lived like a couple blocks from the old school. And we run into him, and he's like, he's telling us all the stories. He played for Mineral. He actually had bricks from Mineral High School. He gave one to Bowling.
So they would be what high school now? Is that Bureau Valley? No, that's not. Who is that? What county is that in?
I think they are Bureau Valley, or you know, they're out of that area. Because we also stopped by Neponset, the Zephyrs, the great. Yeah. I mean, I remember in the early 90s, Neponset and Attawan had some. Very good matchups
oh, yeah.
of girls basketball.
Yeah, yep. So we need to do. Have you ever made the trip to Dyersville? You've been to Field of Dream?
No, I've never been.
Yeah,
to
I'm
Dyersville.
Shocked. You've never been to Field. I went this summer, right before. It was like I went 2 weeks before they made the huge splash announcement that the White Sox were going to play there. So, I mean, they kept that under wraps because I was there just on a summer day with my dad, and then. 2 weeks later, they make the announcement, "Hey, we're building this temporary field." But
I've seen the movie.
it's worth the trip to go to it. And probably not
this year.
Not so much now because, I mean, and it sounds like Major League Baseball is going to do the game maybe every year there. But when we went, like last year, it's really weird because it's about 90, I think maybe 90 minutes from here, from Aledo. And basically, you just go up. 61. Is that 61 that runs north out of Davenport, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And then you just get up to the, I don't know if it's 20 or 30 that runs east and west, and you go, you just take a left and go west, and there's no, what's so weird about that, there's no signage anywhere about Field of Dreams. You're following your GPS, so when I got on my GPS, I'm with my dad, and so, you know, it's GPS voice, you know, turn right here, and so, like, we're, you know, you'll be in your destination in 2 minutes. And I'm like, man, this can't be right. So we came in from the east. So the GPS had us turn down the gravel lane road that goes down basically the decline. And my dad's like, "I don't think your GPS is right." So you're just on this gravel, like, dusty road that's like maybe one and a half car length.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, you know, this is weird that it's just a freaking gravel road. That's where our GPS took us. So then you kind of get just, you're going down the decline, and you kind of see the light standards, and then you're just there.
Sort of like,
and it's
sort of like,
Field of Dreams.
Sort of like traveling in the, you know, I remember Dan Pearson's thing was, if you think you're lost, look for the light standards.
Yeah,
you'll
right.
find.
So, but you have to go when it's, in my belief, you have to go in basically from July to August.
When the corn's high.
When the corn's at its highest peak optimum level, because that's the full effect.
Yeah.
And you can, and what's great about it is you just, there's no admission. I mean, unless you want to tour the actual house.
Right.
That, there's an admission to go that. But you can just take your glove.
And walk on the field.
And you can play catch and do whatever you want, take whatever picture. You can walk out of the cornfield. So I tell people that's a worthy trip, especially for Midwesterners, especially for farm kids, for anybody. But I'm just saying, for that dynamic of if you grew up in a rural area, you get it, man. And
yeah.
it's just a beautiful place, and there's an aura about it. I mean, there really is. And then the other trip I made with my son, so that was with my dad, and I'm a big high school hoops fan. So I traveled last summer. I was coming back from a Reds game in Cincinnati. And if you basically, Cincinnati, you just take 80 all the way across to Cincinnati. And so we're coming back, and I said, I want to go to the Hickory High Huskers gym.
Yeah, that's Hoosiers.
That's in Knightstown, Indiana. So that's where they filmed the movie, because Hickory is a fictional
place, yeah.
Based on the Milan, Indiana
yeah.
story. But that's a similar great place to go visit. Now, that's a five-hour trip. But if you love high school basketball and you just love that movie like I did.
Don't watch the paint. Try yeah, to pick well, your fence.
Because you can go in there. And the day my son and I went in there, we were coming back, I think it was like a Thursday or Friday, and it was mid-afternoon. And we went in there, and there was about a handful of people. But, you know, he hadn't seen the movie yet. So,
what?
No, he hadn't. Cool, because he's, 1986 is yesteryear.
Yeah, I know. It's ancient. Yeah.
Augie. But you can just go in there, and they give you a rack of balls. And it was great because it was kind of empty, so you get that echo when you're dribbling. And, you shoot the ball, and if you snap that net. I mean, and then the locker rooms scenes, because you always wonder when Hollywood where they shoot stuff that's off, but the actual locker room scenes were shot in that building too. So
yeah,
you got to see all that. And the only thing I was bummed about, I didn't ask because I wanted to always go see it when Gene Hackman had the initial conversation with Jimmy Chitwood on that dirt
yep.
court. I always wondered where that was shot at, and I forgot to ask that because I wanted to go visit that. I don't know if that was a true Indiana or if they shot that back in
California
a set. But they were telling me when I was there, we had the guy on Sportsline. I did an interview with him that they were in town for 4 months in Knightstown, four
uh-huh.
months shooting that movie. And I asked if anybody had ever been back, and they said not one. Kackman comes back to Indianapolis when they have things for it. But he said, well, Dennis Hopper's now deceased, and then Barbara Hershey. And the guy, I'll never forget, he goes, well, they don't want Barbara Hershey coming back.
Oh.
So apparently she wasn't a nice lady.
Oh.
But Knightstown, and this is like Dyersville. I dig Dyersville because it's like Mercer County.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a Mercer County farm, basically, is what it is. And then Knightstown is any town here in Mercer County. So when you go into Knightstown, I got off the beaten path here. So you go into Knightstown, Indiana, I think 2,200.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
name it whatever town you want.
Right.
Toledo, Sherrard, Joy, whatever. And so you go into Knightstown, and again, you're going on a you're following the GPS. So we get down this street, and, like a typical small-town street, and there's just like this unattended dog walking down the street. And my son's like, I don't know if you're, in the right place. And then, a minute later, you are here.
Yeah.
So when you get there, there is an – so it's so great. So you get there, and there's this old, rundown school building that they're trying to – in any small town, they're trying to figure out what we're going to do with the old vacant school.
Yeah.
And then right next to it, kind of separated, is
the gym.
And it's got the historical landmark, Hickory High Huskers. So the day I walked in, I had a Kendall Gill throwback jersey on. Flying along.
Yeah, I remember Kendall Gill.
And a guy, this is so great, a guy driving by in his car says, Fighting Illini suck. And I'm like, yeah, welcome to Indiana.
Maybe they bring back Chief Elidowick. Have you seen the new Kingfisher or whatever? Good Lord.
So anyway, you go into the building at Knightstown, Indiana, and you walk in there, and it's like, voila. You're there. So I mean, I'm saying for, and this is high school sports audience, that for our listening audience is they're worth the trip if you ever want to do it. And I've told so many people that. All right, here's a weird trip. Can I tell you another?
After Hoosiers came out, we had a freshman basketball game, a sophomore basketball game in Prophetstown. And Prophetstown High School at the time, a very small gym, you know, typical high school gym. They had the old type scoreboard that you see in Hoosiers.
I love that.
And they had the lightning rod, and you know what the lightning rod is.
No.
At half court, they would have a light, because all they used to have was the scoreboard. Well, the lightning rod would tell the officials how many fouls, who was in the bonus, who had possession.
Oh, okay.
So, like, you know, if you got a foul, you know, if that was your third foul, the three light up. And
That's awesome.
And so, you know, it was the old lightning rod, because a lot of the schools, they only had an outlet either on the floor or in the wall, you know, the gym. So, you know, it's not like it is now with the light, you know, computerized, you know, saddle, you know, bing, you know, all that stuff. So, I mean, it looked like a scene right out of Hoosiers.
Well, and when you're talking about the clock at Hoosiers, it's the old, like, clock.
Yeah, but this was still, they had the digital, you know, and the score at the end of the first quarter, Riverdale 4, Prophetstown 2.
What a game!
We lost 32-19. So at the end of the game, there's like 6 seconds left, so our coach is clearing the bench. He goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, looks at me and goes, we can't play with 6. I'm like, God, no! My one moment to impress this cute cheerleader from Prophetstown, gone forever!
All right, so anyway, so we talk about, like, we got to make a trip. We talk about, again, it'd be you, me, Pearson, Nick Bull, and Greg Armstrong. We're going to make a trip. Well, one of the favorite trips I made, it was a couple years ago, my middle daughter and I, we went to see Purdue play Wisconsin in West Lafayette when Hap was still playing.
Yep.
So it was a Wednesday night game, so we stayed in West Lafayette and coming back Thursday. So we took go to Bloomington, and I think it's Illinois Route 9 that runs to Indiana. Well, on Illinois Route 9 or off that highway is Hoopston, home of the legendary nickname the Corn Jerkers.
Yep.
So my middle daughter, she was like a fourth grader at the time. So we're coming back Thursday. Yes, I let her skip school that day. She didn't go to school. Shame on me.
She had a cough.
So I said, I'm going to stop. I want to see the Corn Jerker logo. And she's like, Dad, don't do it. So it's in the middle of school, so it's like 11 o'clock in the morning. And I said, man, I'm going in. And I said, you're going to come in with me. So
what class are you supposed to be in? No.
So I go in the school and check in with the, because you know everything's security now, so you got to
check in with the
buzzer. I'm like, hey, she's like, can I help you? I said, yeah. I said, hey, weird radio guy here from a small little town called Aledo. And I said, I'm passing through, and I've always wanted to see the Hoopston Corn Jerker logo. She's like, sure, come on in. So then they give us this, like, and my daughter's face is just freaking beet red, you know, just embarrassed. So they give us this tour of the everything. They have a huge mascot, like a mural in the hallways. It's really neat. And I said, well, you think I can go in the gym? Oh, sure. So we go in the gym.
And they got the logo. So you're saying
my daughter's with me, and it's so great because it's a PE class of high school kids, you know. And so they stop the PE class.
And Jim Taylor's here. No, everyone's like, we listen to him every week.
No, I said, so can I get a? I said, I'm really weird, but I'm only passing through here. And I said, can I get a couple of pictures, you know, with me holding a basketball in the backdrop? And my daughter's face is just beat red. And here's high school kids looking at this bald dude from Aledo. It's like, what's his story? And so they let me do it. So just this Midwestern hospitality. So anyway, I said, I want to get some gear. I said, Spirit wear Corn Jerker gear. And so this is like a Stephen King movie then, okay? So the lady says, we don't sell it here on campus. There's a Spirit shop off downtown, and it's in a flower shop, gift shop, and I'll give you directions. It's off, you know, Highway 9 or whatever, and you go here. And when you get there, you think you're not going to be there. I said, okay. So sure enough, she gives me the directions, and I get there. And it's one of those stores. So you walk in, and, you know, it's got the bell above the door, a creaky door. And so immediately I walk in, and it's like a gift shop, like she said. And these three or four cats start, like, rubbing up against my leg. And this lady goes, can I help you? And I said, hey, I was up at the school, And I said, they said you had, and so you walk, and there's nothing there, you know, just like knickknacks and stuff. And I said, well, the lady, I said, I'm passing through, and I said, I wanted to get some Hoopston corn jerker gear. And the lady at the school said, you sold it here. And she goes, well, we do. And she goes, it's through that door. So it was a closed door, and I'm like, what? Well, my daughter and I are going to turn up missing in Hoopston somewhere in a Stephen King novel. Yeah. So she opens up the door. And it's this, like, shrine to Hoopston corn jerker stuff, and I got it. So that's my so long story short, that's the type of trip I want to make with Brian Stocking, Dan Pearson, Nick Bull, and Greg Armstrong.
That would be an epic tour.
All right, so we got to take our first and only break here, and we have a lot more coming up. Well, not a lot more, because, man, time is running by, but we still got a few minutes left with Mr. Brian Stocking, Quad City Media legend, biggest one in the Quad Cities, and the biggest ego, too. No, just kidding.
Oh, whoa, Jim.
I'm kidding. All right, we'll have more coming up with our good friend Brian Stocking right after this on WRMJ.
Most people understand the need for life insurance, but not many want to talk about why it's essential to your financial plan. It may seem intimidating, but it doesn't have to be. Don't get overwhelmed. Get started with Country Financial. Your Country Financial representative will work with you to find life insurance that gives you the protection you need at a price you can afford.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
John Waugh.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
And in Moline, see me, Steve Sim.
Life insurance policies issued by Country Life Insurance Company and Country Investors Life Assurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Is there a wedding in your plans for 2020? If you're not sure about essentials for your wedding day, such as save-the-date cards, invitations, and menu cards, look no further than Office Specialists in Galesburg. For your wedding, be sure with Office Specialists. Their reliable service and careful attention to detail will have your wedding off to a good start. Office Specialists has bridal party gifts and wedding party favors, too. For your wedding essentials, call 309-342-7711 or stop by Office Specialists at 143 Ferris Street in Galesburg.
Buying new is out of the question. The next best option, a quality pre-owned vehicle at a sweet price. But where to start? Progress Park Auto Sales should be first on your list and will probably be the last too once you find yourself in a warranted vehicle from their lot that is just what you were looking for. Did I say warranted? I sure did. Most of their vehicles come with a comprehensive warranty. And if they don't have what you want, they'll find it for you. Open every weekday to serve you. Progress Park Auto Sales, Route 17, Aledo.
If you missed out on the great deals during WRMJ's first Bid for Bargains auction, you're in luck. WRMJ's second auction will be Saturday, March 21st. In February, WRMJ's listeners saved over $8,000 on restaurant certificates, tickets, memberships, and merchandise. So start preparing to save lots of money. Check out our website daily to see what's for sale and be ready to call during WRMJ's Bid for Bargains on Saturday, March 21st from 9 to noon on WRMJ Aledo.
All right, Jim Taylor back on WRMJ, Aledo, and WRMJ.com. Pleased to have Brian Stocking in studio with us. He is a multimedia legend currently at Channel 8.
But Score.
Always looking, yeah, always looking for the big offer. Always looking. A free agent, always looking for the big offer.
No, I'm happy.
You want a name drop?
I'm happy with the Score and WQAD. They give, I mean, they put me on the air. They give me Facebook spots on Friday nights. During football, we have a scoreboard. We do a halftime update, but I always do the pregame report on Facebook. They have me on air at the end. I love being at the Score. They also give a lot of scores. So if you don't see Mercer County highlights or you don't see Riverdale highlights, if they're playing that night, you're going to see the score of their game because we do have we do the scoreboards and we make a commitment to showing a lot of games. We show like 22 games on a Friday night during football and basketball. And like last night, we had 5 games. We had posts from several of them, even Newman and
Gilchrist.
Newman, who lost, and Galesburg, who lost. We had post game with their coach, and we have a lot. You know, we have mic ups. We talk to the coaches before the game. We talk to the coaches after the game on the reaction. We had reaction after this that we had this season, and we have a lot of highlights, and we cover the kids. And there's a lot of good stories out there and a lot of great kids. You know, you look at Weathersfield, Colton Quagliano, you look at Mercer County, Trey Essex. I mean, and that's just, you know, two kids And there's a lot more like them, and there and it's fun to see their stories and see their and see them in action.
Well, and I always am impressed by, well, back in the highlight zone days, and now with the score is the fine line, the balance between having fun and providing information.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not easy to get that equation right.
No.
But I always thought Dan did that perfectly. And it is Friday night, and I think the score does that perfectly. And I tell people, see, one of my pet peeves, all right, with when I go to some of these events, there's too much, like, overreaction or policing of these student sections. Now, if they're saying vulgar language and
yeah, then they got to go.
You stop that.
Yeah.
But if they're just creatively having fun and blowing off steam, don't turn into the no fun league.
Right,
because if you're gonna do that, kids ain't gonna go. And
right.
Then you complain about why ain't kids showing up. Well, because you got the thumb on them on Friday night. They
yeah.
want to blow off steam after a week and have fun.
Well, like at the end, of, like when I excuse me, when I'm announcing the West games, right before the game tips off, I always do my ode to Chris Schenkel. Chris Schenkel used to come on ABC Sports, presents all the color excitement of high school of college football. What a way to spend a Saturday
your name
afternoon.
Drop it again.
So I, as an ode to Chris Schenkel, who was great, I'd say West High School or North High School or whatever, wherever I'm at. But before the game, I go, Falcon Nation, rise up. It's game time, to try and get the kids excited in the game. Because the one thing that I get tired of seeing at games is you see kids and they're on their phone and the game's going on and they have no clue what's going on.
Central, but it's not only kids doing that anymore.
Yeah, it's parents too. Central out of a game. This year, it was 4th-and-1. Central's on defense. They're playing, I think, North Scott. They need the fans to really get up, you know, help them make that surge in the line to throw back the Lancer Vance. And all of a sudden, I'm looking, and you see two kids. They've got their backs to the field, not having a clue what's going on their phones. Half the student section's down here like this. They didn't know it was 4th-and-1. And I'm like going, guys, you got to be, you know, excited. Watch. I'm watching. And they're all, you know, what's trending now? It's like,
Doc's going, get your hands
no,
out
I'm not
here.
Doing that. But, you know, because as a teacher, you have to, you know, you can't be, you know, going crazy. Although there was an IHSA referee who was at a game as a fan.
Yeah, I was doing the game.
And got thrown out for cursing the referees on the field. It's like, what is wrong with you?
It was Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And then he was on the crew at Rock Ridge. State tournament game. He was a state tournament official.
Oh, my God. That's even worse.
And he had an IHSA pullover on.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So
I mean, can only imagine the boys and girls in Bloomington when they got that ejection report going, calling their official, are you sure it was?
Well, it was.
Oh, my God. That's even worse than I heard. I had heard that an IHSA official got tossed.
He was a state tournament official that worked the 2015 Rock Ridge State Tournament game, third place game.
You know, and we're talking about how, you know, we're talking about the thinning roster of teams, of athletes. There's a thinning roster of officials. I mean, that's why you're seeing so many games being moved to Saturday, because there's not enough officials.
Well, and you partake in that occupation. I'm a longtime baseball umpire, but a basketball official too. What's your take? What you hear some of the stuff?
I know
you do a lot of the JV sophomore
games. Yeah, I hear a lot of the things, and also. I think a lot of it is, you know, a lot of it is, I mean, they're paying us great. I mean, you know, I did a Riverdale sophomore game and got paid $50.
And everybody says he's a homer.
No,
born a Riverdale Ram. There he comes.
No,
we can't get any call in Port Byron.
No, I referee the games. When the game starts, I turn blind. The only thing I see is red or blue or white and green. I don't see names on the jersey.
But you don't want to use the terminology, I turn blind.
Well, okay. But you know what I'm saying. And, you know, I got paid $50. And we're out. It's like an hour-long game, and you're getting $50 essentially for an hour of your time. You can't get that anywhere else. And I mean,
you take a lot of you can take a lot of abuse for it, though, too.
You can take a lot of abuse, yes. But the thing is like with me, granted, my games are, you know, sophomore or junior varsity, so it's not the uber competitive. You know, a lot of times it's like going, can we just get a traveling call, please? Even if it's against our team, can we get a traveling? But no, it's just having to deal and handle the referee, handle the coaches. It's public relations, essentially. You know, I did one of the best varsity games I ever did. I think you were there, even. It was a softball game, varsity. Rockridge versus Sherrard. Becky Entz was the Sherrard coach. And Rockridge was playing Sherrard. And the Rockridge pitcher pitched a perfect game. The Sherrard pitcher gave up a hit in the first, hit in the seventh. That hit came around and scored on an error, or we'd still be out there. It was 1-0, took like an hour and 10. And it was a great game that you wouldn't, I mean, that, you know, you got to be a part of. And, I mean, I don't know why more people, you know, they go, well, I want to get back to the game. Then be an official. I mean, yes, you're going to take some heat. You're going to take some abuse. I had to throw a fan out in Orient because he threatened to meet me in the parking lot. I said, you can go out there right now. And then I asked the Orient people, who is this guy? You know, it's a JV softball, a softball game. I'm thinking they have to know who it is because he tried to come in through the Orient dugout.
Jeez.
Because he was upset about call my partner, maybe.
You need a bodyguard,
no,
man.
And so he's yelling, and I'm telling the coach, you need to tell that guy to be quiet, because I didn't think he was an Orient coach. And he goes, I'm going to meet you in the parking lot. I said, you could go out there right now. So I asked Orient three times that night, who is this guy? Figuring they nobody knew. So I arrived, because in the IHSA, whenever a player or a coach or a fan gets ejected, you have to send us a report. So I send it to the IHSA. All of a sudden, I'm at North High School the next day, and Orient's going, we have the name of that guy that you threw out last night. I go, well, I've already sent the report to the state of Illinois. Oh, you did? I go, yeah. And I also put in there that you guys didn't know who it was. Oh. So I think Dave Gannaway was the IHSA.
Well, a few years ago. Then.
Yeah, so this was about 10 years ago. So I think Mr. Gannaway had a little discussion and said, next time a fan gets thrown out, you better know who he is.
So you do just softball, or do you?
I do football, baseball, basketball, and softball.
So what? When do you do football? Because you can't do it on Friday night.
I sometimes do freshman games on Saturday or JV game or junior high game on.
So you do four different sports.
Yes.
So which one? I mean, so what is your opinion of the fan base in recent years?
The fans are getting the students aren't bad. It's the adults that are getting worse because the adults are. Too many of the adults don't see it as, hey, this is a chance for Joey to get out there or Susie to play with her friends. They're like going, hey, this is a chance for us to get out of paying, you know, having college bills. So, you know, it's a JV game in the fourth quarter. You don't even know what you're calling them. It's like, come on, buddy. You know, it's like, you know, go sit down, go get some popcorn, sit down and, you know, enjoy the game. And it's like, you know,
how many people have you thrown out in your career?
I've only thrown out one fan.
That was the Orient
situation? Yeah, I have not thrown out a coach. I've had to throw out a couple of kids, but mostly it was for malicious contact, like in baseball. We had one year we had a kid that the shortstop had the ball. He's standing on the baseline with the ball, waiting to put the tag on the kid.
He got
kid
run over.
Drops his shoulder and knocks him into the right field. It's like going, you got to go. You know, and it's like, well, I'm like going, no, you don't get a gratuitous free shot. If the kid's in the baseline with the ball, you can't truck him, you know. Try and go around them or run back but don't truck them.
All right. Well, our time is winding down here. Brian Stocking, it's been a privilege. Do you need to drop any additional names? Do you like everybody in Quad City, like sports media? Or who's the one person in Quad City sports media that you just absolutely hate? I'm kidding.
I really like everyone, you know.
They all seem like pretty good
people. We're very fortunate in this area.
Weather guys are totally
different. Well, the weather, you know, but the weather's one thing. But, no, we are very fortunate in the Quad Cities that we have a fan base that is passionate about high school sports and that we have – that there's a lot of interest in high school sports because there's some places they don't have that interest or it's only one sport. Like in Texas, it's football 24/7, mm-hmm. you know, 365 days a year. Here, there's sports, there's seasons, and we have – there's a lot of kids – thankfully, that played multiple sports, and hopefully more will.
And then the radio keeps it alive too. So your favorite? Who's your favorite in terms of radio?
You, of course, and WRMJ.
That's a shameless plug. We gave you a T-shirt too.
Yes.
All right. Well, Brian Stocking, you do a great job. I love your energy, and I love your appreciation and passion for interscholastic athletics. And I'm glad the score and WQAD recognizes that.
Thank you. And it's a pleasure being on such a legendary program. Sportsline's been on since I was in high school. Because I remember And they would print the radio.
So you have your headphone on while you're reading the paper, walking from Port Byron to the Casey's.
Yeah, probably back then, yes. Because we did have Walkmans back then.
Yeah. All right, well, good to see you, sir. Always great to watch your work on the score. Keep it up, man.
Thank you.
All right, we have our good buddy Brian Roosh coming up next on WRMJ. It's the Sports Line on Saturday morning.